Welcome to the Together in the UK podcast. This evening, I'm really, really pleased to be interviewing Aman Goyal, originally from India and working in the UK. He came here on a highly skilled migrant visa, so I will be very, very interested to explore how that works and the opportunities it gives. We'll also be talking about his insights into the differences between Indian culture and UK culture and how he's found living in the UK. Let's just start with some of your background. Can you give us some insight into where you grew up?
Glad to be here. I'm very interested in going through today's podcast. So a little bit about me. So I grew up in the city of Delhi, which is the national capital of India, in a typical middle-class family. My father worked in one of the nationalized Indian banks, and my mother was a government school teacher. I grew up in a housing society, not very different from how I am living here in London, with friends, a lot of fun, childhood fun. You could also say that I had a lot of support in my family while growing up in terms of access to teachers, education, my parents who were well-educated themselves, who could help me with studies. My father had a lot of foresight just in general, like about the world. And I was exposed to computers and internet like pretty early on, like 2000, 2001, actually. So that actually helped generate my interest in computers and internet in general. That eventually helped me like essentially doing my engineering and then having a career in the technology services space.
I know Delhi is a huge city.
Yes.
Can you tell me the population?
That's a good question. I think it is close to 20 million, I think, if I'm not wrong.
Bigger than London. That was really interesting that your father could almost see the future and how to support you and how that created a platform for you now. But I want to move on to sort of you now. You have a young family and you've traveled. I know that you've traveled extensively with your work.
Correct.
What do you think are the benefits of being so international? And what do you think are the downsides?
One of the quotes that I love, I think this is from St. Augustine, is that like the world is a book and those who do not travel read only one page. So I love that quote. I always tell the young folks like that I meet as part of my like job, like interns and stuff. Like I tell them that like you should try and travel as much as possible, either yourself or like if your work takes like gives you opportunities, try and grab that. I have been obviously fortunate enough to work in India, obviously US, Japan, and the UK, and have traveled to for work in Singapore and Eastern Europe in Budapest and so on. And one of the things that I think I've been fortunate enough is to actually go to these cities and actually live there for like more than 12 months. That just gives you a deep understanding of the individual cultures in each area and not just like work culture as well as like outside of work culture, which is important, right? Because like the way that they work in Japan is very different from how they work in the UK versus the US, right? So it just helps you develop like that sense of understanding. And then as you grow in your career, since we are such a globalized world, you have so many different teams across the world as you grow in your career, you just have a much better appreciation of managing individuals who may come from different cultures and you can connect with them. If you can pick up a language, if you are traveling, all the better. Like essentially, like I think there's an Nelson Mandela quote that like if you talk to someone in a language that they understand, then you are talking to their head, but like if you can really talk in their native language, you can talk to their heart. I think it's something like that. I don't think there is a lot of downside. I think the only thing could be that if you're traveling too much and you're chopping and changing a lot in like in the same organization and everything, I think that may create challenges for you from a career perspective. But I think that is very, very minimal and it might not be the case. I've personally not seen any downside per se, other than obviously packing, like packing stuff up.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe missing your family back home might be a downside, but maybe with technology, you find that keeps you close enough to your family back home.
Since I have a young family, like I think it's slightly easier for me to just move them around for now. I think it will probably like as I grow older, I think it'll be slightly harder.
Yes, when everybody's at school.
So, yes.
Yeah. that could be the challenge. Can you give us some insights from your perspective into UK culture?
I think and I've now been, I think, working in the UK for like close to 5 years, five and a half actually. I think the one thing that you observe very quickly, if you're working in a global firm, is that being in the UK gives you just a time zone advantage that no other location has, right? So like between 8 to 5 during your daytime, you can essentially talk to someone in Tokyo and then finish off by talking to someone in Seattle. That piece essentially ensures in some ways, like if you have a global team, you can actually manage that really well out of the UK. I think just within the UK individuals that I have interacted with, I think number one is obviously like that people like to have very clear demarcations in terms of like times, like in terms of like, okay, like I have to like leave at a certain time, like 5-6 o'clock. That may not be the case in London per se everywhere, but in general, I think people try and finish off some stuff at between 5 to 6, and go home, spend time with the family and make sure that they're essentially having the right balance. I think in Japan, I think that might be very different, right? And it's some of it is also has to do with just the time zone piece as well that I mentioned, right? So that kind of plays into it as well in a lot of cases. Politics, obviously, like is a big piece in the UK. So that's also like, I think something that people love to talk about in general, right? Depends if you are interested as well. Sports, football. So I think this usual stuff, I think those are things that are there in even in India as well, right? So it's just different sports maybe. And then I think the other thing from a work culture perspective that I've seen is that people like to be thorough about things. Like I think they want things to be structured. There is a certain kind of structural framework that I think people like to follow. In general, I have seen like the project management aspect, like of managing things and trying to get that to completion is something that I've seen like a lot of people to be really good at.
It's really nice to know that we have such an advantage. As a British person, I can see, I always make sure that my meetings finish on time. You know, it's interesting to get that external perspective.
Got it.
And then also, I think we love models and ways of working. So I go on lots of sessions where people say, I've read this book and it's got this model or that model. So that's really interesting to hear your observations. I want to move on now for you to tell us something about, it's a big topic, but what do you think it'll be helpful for us to know about Indian culture?
I think, like, obviously there is a lot of history, right, between the British culture and the Indian culture. Yeah. So I feel like, at least like having lived in multiple countries, that just within the British culture, like in general, right, obviously everyone needs to improve, right, and across the board. But like what I have seen, at least with my travels, is like in general in the UK, there is a lot more integration of the Indian culture, the understanding of the Indian culture, than in some of the other places that I have been. I think there is a history behind it, and that just comes naturally with that history. One thing that would be good for people to understand, that if you are actually like, if you are working with folks from India who have traveled from India, who are like having an Indian background, in general, like in India, there is obviously like a notion called guest is God, basically, right? So feel free to engage with your Indian friends. And I think Indians generally, and that may be probably paraphrasing that or like generalizing it here, but in general, I think like Indians, like with families and stuff, like they love having people to come over, like having like dinners or like lunches, like sitting down, talking and everything, right? So that's something that I think is seeped into the culture in general. Like people will, like in general, like if you're in India, you have like families around, there is a lot more social interaction that happens all the time. That I don't know enough that if that happens all the time in Britain, in actually people's homes. It may be like something that you may not want to impose, but sometimes it's just a hesitation. Like people are actually, from an Indian perspective, they are hesitant to invite someone that easily. So, but like if you, from a British culture, like if you are okay with having that conversation, I think that just gives you an added, So that's like an interesting piece. And then I think from an Indian work culture perspective, people are connected with the Indian, folks, anyways in their work profile. But having like, I think if you are working with Indian people, like either along with you or remotely, like understand like where they come from and like having like have like deeper conversations about like especially like cricket, like if you like to talk about cricket, like everyone mostly like in India would love to talk about it, right, rather than football, frankly, but you would actually be surprised, like Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, like these clubs are big in India, definitely big in India, especially like in the middle class, upper middle class. We obviously get all the games in India. Like people who follow that, like watch them. Someone might actually be a football club fan. You should ask them about it.
Oh, sport is kind of a universal language to engage in. And I think from what I heard, there's an enormous tradition of hospitality.
Correct.
I think you talked about being an engineer, being very skilled in IT. Was that your route to the highly skilled migrant visa pathway? Can you give us any more insights into the qualifications and experience that made it possible?
Sure. In this area, like a lot of developments have actually happened over the last 2 years, especially like after COVID, I think before COVID happened or after COVID happened, especially like when Brexit happened, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the immigration changes have actually taken place. And my perspective, personal perspective, is that the new changes are actually, and I don't want to be like any controversial in terms of politically here, but like I feel that these changes are going to be very, very beneficial in the long run for the UK. The reason why I say that is that these changes is going to help UK to basically attract the best talent from across the world rather than from just in Europe. I wouldn't say that I am like for Brexit or against Brexit, like frankly, like, but I think it's more because I obviously did not have skin in the game at that time when it was decided. But like, I think that change is definitely going to help you in the longer run. How I actually came to the UK was actually through a slightly different, I would say, visa type, which is called the intra-company transfer visa, which is like because I was working in Tokyo for my organization, I was given an offer or basically an opportunity in Edinburgh, and I was asked to basically move here, and that is like an intra-company transfer. How the government has basically organized it is like they have created levels in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like essentially, they have provided like categories in terms of like that you should have some certain kind of, I think, computer science skills or project management skills and some of the other categories. And I think you can obviously look that up. But if you are the level 3 and above, you can be sponsored by an organization on a highly skilled worker visa. And that is where I think you can see that a lot of the service technology services area falls into that 3 and above area. My perspective has been more in terms of the technology space or and in those areas, typically like if you're a developer, data engineer or like project manager and so on, delivery managers and so on, it's obviously easier for you to get an option to come in. However, I'll also say that because of some of these changes that were that happened like a couple of years ago, it is now very easy for people to come and study in the UK and stick around for like a couple of years and find the right jobs for them. I had a friend who basically came in, I think just last month, trying to explore some of the entrepreneurship visas, innovation visas, startup visas. So there are a lot of options that people now have, apart from just the highly skilled pathway, to come and explore how they can actually grow their career and have like a long-term successful life within the UK.
I would just say that Professor Jonathan Portes, who was a speaker at one of our events, who is a very high-profile economist, he has said that one of the successes of Brexit has been the new migration policy.
Yeah.
So you're in good company there. You're moving with your company to different places. What kind of support does your company give you to help you kind of with these transitions? Does it help you find places, set up bank accounts, things like that?
So typically, varies from organization to organization, right? So large organizations like mine have a much more streamlined relocation services framework, wherein when you are moving, you are provided with support in terms of a relocation company, basically looks at your end-to-end framework. It gives you options for your flight tickets, options for essentially the movers, if you're coming, obviously, if you're moving to the UK from a country, which can provide you different quotations. So you work on that. And then when you're here, it will provide you with a list of things that you need to do as a ready reckoner, right? And typically that option is all of those things are provided along with a relocation allowance that you get as you come in to cover all these costs as well as you're coming in. So I think interestingly, when I was moving to Japan, you actually, because of the language constraints, you get a much more personalized service in some ways, wherein someone who speaks Japanese and English can work with you and get all of these things opened up. So I think it varies a little bit depending on where you are going. But obviously, UK being an English-speaking country, you get a lot of this information, and then you can easily just do this. And frankly, I think in the UK, bank accounts and those things have actually been pretty easy to now open up, right, with some of the neobanks.
So do you think, therefore, that coming in this route, you don't experience some of the challenges that other migrants face because you've got all that support from your company?
I think so. I think, I agree. I mean, it's not, it has no comparison, frankly, it's night and day, between what other migrants who may be people who may be asylum seekers to others who might be coming in different ways. It's night and day. Yeah. There is no comparison to the kind of hardships that others probably face versus what I have. Yes. Actually, it's not really hardship, frankly, if you put it in perspective.
We know that, say, if you come as a asylum seeker, it's very hard to get your experience in your home country recognized when you're going for jobs and things like that. But clearly, you're working with a company, so they know what you can do. Was there anything that made you feel welcome in the UK? Anything in particular?
When we came in from Tokyo, to Edinburgh, frankly, it was obviously a shock in terms of from high-rise buildings to the one story or ground floor houses lined up. There was a sense of community because I was coming for work. I had something to go to, right? Basically on day one. Because we spoke the language, which I think may not be true for a lot of people, when they might come in, it was easier for us to come in and interact with people. I think when you're looking for houses, dealing with agents, generally it was a positive experience in terms of, looking at the right place to stay, what works, doesn't work. And even just when we found the place, interacting with some of the current owners to see interaction with people, I think was really good. I think that was, there was a general acceptance in general. And I think this is something that I wanted to point out, that having worked in different countries, I at least feel that UK, or maybe I've not been exposed a lot in different areas within the UK, but at least my experiences have been that UK is a lot more heterogeneous country in general, than some of the other places in terms of just inclusivity, in terms of different cultures who are working together, coming from not just born and brought up in the UK, but Eastern Europe, Europe in general, and then obviously Middle East, and basically there are a lot of different cultures come and like combine here. And especially like in Edinburgh, there was a university area, so you could see like kids like coming in from different cultures. So I think in general, I have seen a lot more like interaction than like in some of the other places that I've at least lived.
Oh, that's good to hear. Can you tell me, you know, after lockdown when you couldn't explore the country and where you are now, are there things that you've enjoyed visiting, places that you've been since lockdown ended?
One thing is my kid was basically born like 2 months before the lockdown started, yeah. Right? Yeah. So I've definitely enjoyed my time with him for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I moved to London, I think a year ago. Now, like in August of last year from Edinburgh, which was obviously like a big change again in terms of culture. And I think one of the things is that I had a lot bigger community, like the friends that I know from my school days essentially like live here, like essentially as far as I lived with, like from them when they were living with me in Delhi, right? So which is great, right? So you have some of these like friends that you grew up with living next door, in almost next door basically, right? So that you can interact with all the time. So there's a better, I would say, social structure that I've been able to get when I've come to London. And since lockdown has ended, I think we have started going around. I think one place that I particularly liked was, maybe a lot of people already know, it's called like the West Wittering Beach. It's I think down south near Portsmouth. I did not know that there was such a nice beach area available like in the UK.
I think it's, you know, I'm told that we're never more than 100 miles from the sea because we're a small island.
Correct.
And I think we all have our favorite beaches. And I do think every child should have a happy memory of going to the beach. So it sounds like, you know, in West Wittering, you found your beach.
Correct. Yes. Because I think I'm not a fan of the pebbles beach. So this was like definitely a sand beach that my kid basically enjoyed. I think he was really happy like there. It was probably his first time on the beach, like real proper beach paint, like essentially like 4 hours just like digging up the sand and playing underwater and everything. So it was a lot of fun.
So my final question is, what advice would you give anyone coming to the UK?
So obviously it depends on the route you are coming in, right? But I feel like I'll try and talk about like just like essentially the route that I came in, or like a similar route where you are like a legal immigrant into the country in some way. Like you have what you need from a legality perspective.
Yeah.
So if you have that, then I think like some of the things that you have to keep in mind is that when you come in, number one is that if you have the legal documentation, you can actually open an account in 2 minutes if you have a phone. Like right. One of the new neobanks will allow you to open that account like in 2 minutes, essentially on the phone. Number two, which may not be true in a lot of other countries, is like you can actually get a SIM for your phone, like from a normal convenience store. So if you have a phone, you can buy a SIM, you're good to go. And then you can basically get an account created on the phone. I think the other thing is obviously like if you are getting a place for yourself or like you have a place that you're finding, make sure that like you get yourself registered with your council, right? It's very important. I think it does just gives you a lot more things like sorted in some ways. Like if your landlord is not helping you there, make sure that you're doing that. So I think that's another thing to keep mm-hmm. in mind. Third is obviously NHS. Like get yourself registered in the GP and yeah. you're in the system. Very, very important. And remember, which has happened with me, like NHS Scotland and NHS England don't talk to each other that well. So if you're yeah. moving between Scotland and England, you should just remember that your records may not move. So that might be a challenge. But if you are obviously like somewhere, just make sure that you're registered with the GP. And then like if you're planning to work, which I believe is the case with most of the people, make sure that you get a national insurance number. And I think if you can do these 4 or 5 things, get a bank account, register yourself with the council, get an NHS sorted, and get like the NINO, this is what they call national insurance number, you will at least have all the things in place, like essentially starting your life in some ways in the UK. And then you obviously, like, if you have children, make sure that you're registered with a health visitor. And like, if you want to get into schooling, public schooling, you have to go through the council. So all of those things will then follow from that point onwards.
That is really helpful, practical advice. Thank you so much for being our guest this evening. And for more podcasts and more stories of migration to the UK, please head over to our website, which is togetherintheuk.co.uk.